Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet 3 inches and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
I don't know if it was Joe that had the drone out there at the game yesterday.
That sounds like, that seems like something Joe would do. Because Joe can't make it out of Seattle.
I'm signing up for rifle recruit classes this morning. So next time there's an opportunity, you know, me and Caleb McGarry. I don't know if you saw his post-game.
Caleb McGarry said, "Shoot it."
Yeah, I'd like to shoot that thing.
Shoot it. Somebody shoot it. Now the Falcons go out there and they beat the Seahawks, which is great. They got the game started in a way that a lot of people wanted them to, targeting Kyle Pitts. Do you think, or actually, let me just ask you like this. What did Arthur Smith say after the game about them making an emphasis to get Pitts the ball early in the game?
I mean, I don't think that there was like as like a huge emphasis than more emphasis than there has been. I think that the main difference was that you saw a couple plays specifically schemed to him. And that's what I think pretty much everybody wanted to see. There was a nice little tight end screen. There was that fade pass that he caught in a one-on-one situation where he was coming out of the backfield. That's exactly the same way that the Rams used Cooper Kupp, and that's the way that you just want to get your playmakers the ball. And I think that Kyle Pitts showed in the game exactly why you do want to scheme him into those situations, because he's just such a physical presence. He can make things happen with the ball in his hands, similar to the way that like Drake London is able to gain yards after the catch just because of his sheer physicality. So I think that, you know, but when you think about it, guys, like they schemed him up in the first quarter and they still kind of drifted kind of away
from
him because the game plan was to more run the ball. And that's what has really happened. If you go back and rewatch the first couple games of the season, they'll go to Kyle Pitts early and then they kind of go away from him. So I'm not completely like certain that this whole situation is like sorted out, but I think that we did see some glimpses of what we've been wanting to see, which is just scheme the ball to get it into his hands at point in time.
What about that run game? I mean, obviously Cordell Patterson over 140 yards rushing, but to me, Joe, it just seems like that this offensive line has, I don't want to say jailed or anything, but they are getting a hat on a hat and allowing him to make runs.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't it kind of remind you, and I'm not going to like make a direct comparison, but like, doesn't it kind of remind you of like the way that Derrick Henry ran in Tennessee under Arthur Smith? Like, you're getting that power run game. And the thing about Cordell Patterson, I think it was because he used to be a wide receiver full time. People don't think of him as like a physical presence, like a Derrick Henry, who's going to bowl you over, but he will absolutely do that. I mean, the guy is massive. When you stand in front of him, he's like 6'2", 230. It's kind of crazy that he's actually as nimble as he is. He is not someone you want to get in front of when he's running at full speed. And that's the other fun thing about Cordell Patterson is he's getting that hat on hat blocking, like you said, Randy, in front of him, but he's also hitting the hole at full speed. And I think that what that really does for him over time is it makes teams overcommit to the play side. And then that's when you see in the second half of these games, he's really killing these teams on the cutback lanes. You saw actually Felipe Franks had a great like kind of block on the back side of that play in the, I think it was like late in the third quarter, that really sprung Cordell Patterson for a long gain down the Falcons sideline. So it's really fun to watch him play, but it's also, I think, really exciting for this Falcons offense because of the way that you're seeing Arthur Smith's total offensive scheme kind of fall into place with this guy who, you know, he's a 31-year-old back. He's probably not a back that a lot of people thought was going to be a long-term piece here in Atlanta. And, you know, obviously age will eventually catch up to everybody. But for right now, he looks like he's the kind of perfect guy that you would want back there in this offense.
Yeah, and that's what's happening, right? Like, we're talking about a guy who, after a decade in the NFL, being what he was, has come here and become the lead running back. Like, he's second in the NFL in rushing yards right now behind only Nick Chubb. No, after the first week, he had 20 carries. He had 17 carries yesterday, and we keep being like, well, you know, they'll give the ball to Algier more. Maybe they will. Algier had the ball six times yesterday. Like, do you feel like that's kind of what we're watching with him? Like, he's really going from that dual threat weapon that they used him as last year. And now, I mean, he's their number one running back, and they're going to give him the ball a ton.
Yeah, you know, we were kind of joking late last week about Tyler Allgeier kind of being the meat shield for this for Cordarrelle Patterson. That, you know, he softens up that defense, but you're seeing it. Like, you're seeing Cordarrelle Patterson being able to run against teams that have just gotten pounded on once or twice. And I think that that contributes to, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson having such a high success rate on his runs. You know, there's, you know, a lot of people just go by, you know, average yards per carry and whatnot, but he has one of the highest success rates in terms of what you expect to get in certain downs and distances in the NFL. And that's what is keeping this this offense, like, on schedule and kind of keeping it looking so good, to be quite frank. I mean, this offense has been one of the better offenses in the NFL through 3 weeks. I mean, when you look around the league, you're seeing some teams like that Sunday night game last night was
awful.
Was absolutely pitiful. You're seeing some teams like, you know, the Steelers. You're seeing teams all over the place that are just struggling on offense. The Bears look terrible. Obviously, mm-hmm. the Texans, that game they had yesterday. The Falcons are one of the better offenses. In fact, you know, it's funny, when I'm watching these Falcons games, after the defense gets off the field, usually after a bad result for the defense, I'm like, all right, yes, well, at least we get to watch the Falcons offense now, because it certainly seems to be humming. As long as they can clean up some of these turnovers they're having, especially the fumbles, I mean, I think that's really kind of holding them back from being one of the elite offensive teams right now.
What about this defense who you're talking about? Opportunistic, Brady with a big sack. You got Richie Grant with the interception that end the football game. But still, Joe, it just seems like those passing windows are just wide open. I mean, it just seems, I mean, like you can drive a Mack truck through some of those windows that Geno was throwing through. Did you see anything differently from the defense in the back end at all that can be like, okay, maybe it was just a coverage that they're playing soft zone, or are these guys just getting beat?
I mean, that's the frustrating thing, Randy, is that it just feels like it's just soft coverage. Like, guys are in position. It doesn't feel like there's a ton of, like, coverage busts or anything, but you just had guys, you know, just like allowing a mediocre NFL quarterback like Geno Smith to just kind of pick you apart because you're playing so off. And I think that that's something that is very frustrating. And I don't think many people expected, with a Dean Pease defense that was kind of known for being this, you know, high aggression, high pressure defense. And you know, it is frustrating to watch this team play defense right now. We'll see how they adjust. I think the good thing that you can point to is that this team, in the last two games against the Rams and this one against the Seahawks, the defense has improved after halftime. I think the adjustments that they're making
at
that point are definitely helping, and that's a sign of not just a you know, good coaching, but also players that can receive that coaching and implement it on the fly. But it certainly is frustrating. And I think on the pass rush, you know, I want to be optimistic about it, but, you know, it seems to me like it's like Grady Jarrett or nothing.
Right.
Like, if Grady Jarrett's not busting through that line, it seems very rare that it's somebody else getting back there. Thankfully, Lorenzo Carter was able to get a really huge sack, important sack late in that game. And then, of course, Grady seals it. So that's good. You're glad you're getting that. But I'm wondering how sustainable it is. I hope they can use Troy Anderson in some more of those blitzing situations, because he's one of the Falcons players that looks to be effective in that role. You don't, like, I mean, over time he will be able to be a guy who drops into coverage, but I think right now you kind of want a guy like Troy Anderson to be using that athleticism to the biggest extent possible. So blitz him and have him in man coverage, and I think that you can do some things with this defense.
What did they say about that fourth quarter fumble after the game? Mariota, Arthur Smith, what was it that they were saying about what happened on that play?
Well, I think the main thing that Arthur Smith said, actually, you know, this is like one of those things. It's a mess situation, and they didn't execute it correctly, and it cost them. But I think with Arthur Smith sounded very pleased with the way that the team responded at that point, because I think everybody was thinking the exact same thing, which was the Seahawks are going to march down the field, score a touchdown, Falcons are going to lose. It's going to be basically the same thing all over again that happened against the Saints, the way that, you know, the reaction's going to be to it. But the defense came out and played, and they started getting that pass rush. So I think that, you know, they didn't want to kind of, you know, linger on the mistake. I know that obviously that will be something that they have to get ironed out. And it's like the one thing I think that's holding Marcus Mariota back in terms of his perception among fans of this team right now is like, can't he kind of get those things sorted out? It certainly needs to be something that they do get straightened away. But I think overall they were just happier with the way that the team responded versus how they've responded previously.
No doubt. Joe, we appreciate it.
JP.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.